This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Thanks so much for tuning in today. After 8 years, the president of the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design is stepping down. Neil Hoffman came to the school in 2007 with a mandate to expand the school's footprint, both nationally and in its own backyard. And in retiring, Hoffman believes he's done that.
He officially retires at the end of May. He'll be replaced by Jeffrey Morin, who's the current dean of the UW Stevens Point College of Fine Arts and Communication. With Hoffman's schedule jammed between now and then with last-minute business and a lot of well-wishers, he found the time to stop by our studios to reflect on his tenure at MIAD and in Milwaukee. Neil, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
So you came in 7 years ago.
8 years ago.
Eight years ago. My gosh. I was thinking it was seven. And that means I've been here longer than I think I have.
You were you interviewed me within the first month of me being here. So that's why I remember. It was quite a nice experience.
Well, good. Yeah. That means you're back.
That's
and,
right.
And so in that time, in that 8 years that you've been in charge of MIAD, I know you came in with some specific goals in mind. What did you find when you came to MIAD? And what were some of the challenges for you to get to where you wanted it to go?
I wish I could say I had goals that were clearly defined and you could put them on a chart. But it really was a deeper issue for me than that. Because in the process of being interviewed, people are very open. They often tell you what they really are thinking about by the questions they ask and so on. But what I discovered was, and I said it to a number of people after the first month, this is a much better institution than it thinks it is, which kind of touched me. It made me feel as if my job was to, first of all, have them understand just how good they were and build from there.
So you needed to be a cheerleader initially.
To start, I guess we could say that.
Yeah.
Yes, that's fair. And it came because I had a real strong feeling for the quality of what was going on there. And the fact that while people would expect the president has an agenda and goals and so on, I would say that the most important thing that I could do, which I think we were all successful in doing, is get them to work together toward common goals rather than something I had as an agenda. Because ultimately, I really think the best institutions are ones in which the climate is so positive and people don't even know why. And that's so my first step was to start with a strategic long-range planning process for everybody within the first month, which sounds a little strange. How could he do that? Because the feeling I had was I could trust the best judgment of people if I can get them to be comfortable, for them to have trust. And that means I had to be open about that. So the first planning process with 140 people in that college, all the faculty, all the staff, all the trustees, all in the room, not wondering what this new crazy president was doing with all of them in a room for 2.5 days. I worked with a facilitator I worked with in Oakland, where we got 400 people in a city to work together, and they didn't have near as much in common than all these people did in this college. So we started by them defining a new mission for the school. And basically, in that process, they began to open up, they began to trust, and I simply sat in the back of the room. And that may seem a little strange to some people who said, well, a president should simply come in and tell them what to do. No, it's really the opposite of that. And I'm reminded of my college motto when I was in college. It said, let each become all they're capable of being. Well, that resonates to me as I think back on all of this. And after 2.5 days, we created 5 goals, and they created 90 objectives, and we achieved 80% of those objectives within the first year. And I must tell you, at the end of 1 year, when we revisited it and we did it again, there was no holding back. There was no insecurity about the process, because they, the people in the institution, made the change. And that's the thing for which I'm most proud. Because it's not dependent upon the president, it's dependent upon the climate of the institution, which I believe is ultimately the most important goal, because it'll sustain itself.
I would argue, though, that the president sets that tone and that it's important to have that kind of leadership at the top, because otherwise, you know, people could have all of the best intentions, but if it's squelched from the top, it's not going to happen.
Yes, I didn't mean to say that I was passive.
No, I've never thought of you that in any way, shape, or form.
Make a joke of it. It's not an indifferent. It's not passive. It's not arm's length. It's an engagement where you say, as I said to the faculty and the staff, if you were to start over knowing what you know and create a college based on that, what would it look like? In other words, start there. We're going to reinvent this school. Reinvent this college. And much to my pleasant surprise, people were not threatened by that. They were released by that. And the best test of that for me is when people come up with things I never would have thought of myself, which is really terrific.
Well, that ownership. People seeing,
And
fostering that kind of dialogue and that kind of willingness to listen, I think that's a big part of it too, is that you obviously came in with your ears open.
Yes, I think so. But people, especially when you're retiring and you've been there 8 years, and I think we've had a considerable amount of success as a whole school, people give an awful lot of that credit to me. And I must tell you, I try to deflect that a bit, and I'm not being self-effacing about that. It's quite genuine when I say to them, what I've done here is not what I do. It's who I am. This is my creative work. And at the other end of this, I look back and everyone's feeling awfully good about themselves, which I have great joy in.
Do you find now that that crisis of identity, that idea that we're not good enough or that we're not as good as we actually are, we think we're not as good as we actually are, that's gone?
Yes.
Good.
I'm proud to say, which I'm really glad you asked that question. On the other side of that, they're beginning to see how this college is unique, not just in art colleges, but unique in higher education. A student-centered learning is not just a buzzword here. The faculty, staff, and students are reinventing and making change as a normal part of their everyday work. And they're assessing what they do. So they know that they're effective because they're clear about what it is they're trying to achieve. And so there isn't a disagreement about that as much as what's the best way to do what we're talking about, which is, it's a joy to be in the room. It really is.
One of the things that you have been such a champion of as well is community partnerships, not just within the school, the community within the school, but creating those links to people and sometimes unlikely partners that work so, so well together. How crucial has that kind of outside partnership building been?
It's been very important, certainly for me. First of all, it didn't take very long to love Milwaukee. And part of it is that within a month, I was invited to join the presidents and directors of the major cultural institutions who were struggling with the idea of how do you create a cultural plan. Well, I had experience with that. So, and when I started talking about how simple and basic it is to do that, next thing I was involved in the dialogue immediately and felt as if I could contribute something to that. Out of it came a real sharing of how we can move forward. And I think you know the Cultural Alliance and then the Creative Alliance took up the mantle of looking at a plan for creativity and its impact on economy. Well, my goodness, the information we got from this Mount Auburn study and the rest of it really made everyone confident and proud of what this city does that is leading edge in terms of the arts, culture, and the economy. And we're part of that. And I needed to be part of that. And plus, it was selfish. It was a lot of fun.
Well, and I think the other thing that came out of that was to people outside of the business, you weren't just preaching to the converted. You were talking to business leaders and government officials who may not have thought about the arts and the cultural economy in quite that way. And I think maybe it opened up that conversation a little bit.
For me, that was quite deliberate. That instead of them, us worrying about them learning our language, we needed to speak their language in a way they could understand what we do and the impact that we have. And what, 64,100 jobs in the creative sector in the area? Who would think, right? And what are those jobs? And oh my goodness, people say, I didn't think of it that way. Well,
Now you can.
Yes, and, right. And proudly.
What about other partnerships with the school? I know you had, the last time you were here, you were talking with the Marquette, Bob Bishop from the Marquette Engineering School, about some partnerships that you guys were thinking about doing. And I know there's been others, like with Florentine and with other not necessarily educational institutions.
Yes, the and Bob Bishop and I were interviewed by you the last time. You could tell we were having fun in that interview. And the truth of the matter is our conversation about the need to have a relationship between design and engineer started with a joke. And that joke was, and you can cut it out later if you'd like, is what's the difference between an architect and an engineer? Well, if an architect builds a building, it'll fall down. If an engineer builds a building, they'll tear it down. Now, I mean, that's a classic yeah. joke that everyone points at, and Bob and I got it right away. We have the opportunity, and we have now way ahead on that, of having the faculty in these two institutions using the model of the biomedical program, which was a collaboration that's 10 years old, where designers and engineers are working together to solve problems. Because in their separate entities out there in, quote, the real world, they ended up by having to find a way to reach each other because they have to work in the workplace every day. Where we're doing it now in the college, which puts Marquette's engineers and MIAD's designers way ahead of the game and provides them with skills and abilities they wouldn't have had if they were taught in their separate entities.
I think that's just something that's really wonderful about MIAD grads is that they're still in the community and they're still very active and creating.
Well, the students in this college are amazing. And you'd expect the president to say that, but I've been around. These students are amazing. The amount of work and effort they put into their passion shows in the quality of the work. It's not just well-designed. It's tied to some passion that they have found, some direction they have found for their lives. And 80% of them stay here in Milwaukee. What? They have found the same thing that I did here.
My question to you is, you love Milwaukee. Why are you leaving?
Well, it's a long story. It's very personal. I retired at the age of 62, which is now 14 years ago. That didn't work out. I wasn't very good at that. And so when I had the opportunity to come here, I had some other choices, but this was very clearly, for me, the right match. And luckily for the college, it seems like they might agree with me on that. But at the time, the idea, very practically, I was going to sell my very expensive home in Phoenix and buy two homes, one here and have a retirement home there. Well, the economy took care of that. It reduced the value of the house by one half, so I ended up with the one half in Phoenix. And now that I am, in fact, going to retire, my kids, who are all in their 50s, have moved to Palm Springs. So I'm moving there to be with the family.
How nice.
Yeah, it's very simple.
But I somehow don't think you're going to be just sitting on your laurels playing golf or whatever, sitting by the pool having cocktails.
No, not very likely. But I'm asked that question all the time, and I'll say, no, this may sound silly and superficial, but what I'm looking forward to doing is not having to answer that question until I'm ready. I really don't have anything scheduled, and my entire life has been scheduled for as long as I can remember. It doesn't seem hard or difficult. But it's time just to reflect. I'm going to get my camera out again. I've got a beautiful new camera that I'm going to use because that's what my creative outlet was, photography. So I'm going to spend my time with my old friend.
Nikon?
The new Nikon, yes.
Your old friend Nikon, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that once you make the transition and you're taking your pictures and you're reflecting, that you might send us a picture now and again.
Oh, I would. For you, I'd do anything.
Would you?
Yes,
ma'am. Oh, that would be fantastic because I would love to stay in touch. And I think I'm speaking for a lot of people here in Milwaukee, you know, we hate to see the back of you. You know, I hope you'll stay connected somehow.
Well, I'm just beginning to adjust to the fact that I'm leaving. I'm leaving actually officially the end of May, but every day as I'm too busy doing to be thinking about that, I will probably wake up one day sad. But for now, I'd like to put it off as long as I possibly can.
Yeah. Absolutely. But it's not goodbye. It's we'll see you.
Yes.
We'll see you soon. So, yeah. Neil Hoffman,
thank you for the last 8 years, and thank you for being a willing participant sitting in the chair across from me here. It has been such a pleasure.
Nice having a conversation with you again.
Neil Hoffman will retire at the end of the month as president of MIAD, the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. He'll be replaced by the current dean at the College of Fine Arts and Communications at UW-Stevens Point, Jeffrey Morin.
We'll take a quick break now, and in just a moment, food contributor Kyle Cherik joins us with a recap of this year's James Beard Awards, held recently in Chicago for the first time in its history. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.